Happy Tuesday and hello. Thank you for listening in, whether it's, again, your first time, second time, third or fourth time. But welcome to episode 6, which sounds so crazy to say. Your guys' kind words have been, like, amazing. Like, I can't with them because I just can't accept these compliments. It's just weird having people comment on, like, the sound of your voice. You know what I mean? I think almost everyone hates the sound of their voice. When you hear a recording of yourself, you're like, you turn that off because we hear ourselves differently than recording. We also see ourselves differently on camera. The inverted camera is my enemy. Don't let me catch myself looking at myself in that version. No, thank you. I hate that that's what people could be looking at me as, because I don't want to look at that. But wow, 6 episodes. Let's get into this one where I've got some advice, an article, and another type of personality quiz for you. Because if you're like me, we love finding more about ourselves. And what better way to do that than with a personality quiz? Hey, welcome to Be Yourself by Yourself, the place where embracing solo living becomes our new norm. I'm Jadalyn Franco, and if you've ever spent nights scrolling, wondering how to fill your days with joy by yourself, I might be with you. I used to think I needed others to make life more fulfilling, but I found a whole new perspective to enjoy living alone. Join me as we explore real stories, practical advice, and discover a community that gets it. Together, let's turn solo living into the highlight of our 20s. Are you ready? So happy Tuesday if you're listening in on the days that I release these episodes, which again are Tuesdays. If not, I'm glad you could remember to listen in, and thank you and welcome if it's your first time. So I recently just got back from a national conference through one of the student organizations I'm in, and it involves a lot of workshop sessions, which is really fun and cool. Whenever I come back from one of those, it's like a little high that I'm on coming back from all this gained knowledge and improvement and motivation and just more connections and interactions that happen like all at once. That doesn't happen often. It gives me like endorphins and all this like motivation and guidance that just gets sadly lost after a few weeks. But for now I'm on it, but I'm also still stressed because it's April, which if you're a college student right now, please understand that I feel what you're going through, because April is not a fun time for us. We're coming up on finals week. It's one of the hardest times to be a student, really, especially if you're a senior. We got this. I did get called back for a second round of interviews for this one job I have, and I have 3 other job interviews being lined up. So things are starting to feel way better. I just hate how close to the deadline I get with these things. But this conference was nice. I love getting to meet new people, see old friends, and it was just weird because that was my last conference for the year for that organization. So it's damn, I really will never see these people again, huh? Which is so sad. And such a weird feeling. But I hope I do find myself in a situation where I get to meet them again or just have random conversations, because I really do appreciate those interactions. And I did get to share my podcast with a few other people. So hi, if you're listening in from that conference, thank you for being here. But let's get into one of the things I learned while I was there, giving you free advice. I had to sit and listen through them, and now I can give you a rundown of them. But one of my favorite pieces that I learned was just realizing how to help myself, because again, the main gist of this podcast is, you know, trying to be yourself by yourself and knowing you can do it by yourself. So basically, this lady had us grab a piece of paper and make this type of grid. She had us do it in 3s because one column was career, the other was personal, and then she called the third one a wild card. It could just be anything you want. It could be career, again, personal, any other category you want. Basically, across the first row, you put what your goal is. So like career, it could be getting a job in a certain field or getting a job in a certain location, securing that job with a certain company, anything like that. Or if you're not in a situation more like me, getting a job promotion, asking for a raise, whatever your goal is career-wise. And then the next column, yeah, personal. I think I said something about growing my podcast. Or it could be like a fitness-related goal, anything, obviously. And then you can keep going. And then going down from the goal, we were told to write out 1, 2, 3. And you're supposed to come up with questions that could help you get to that goal. So for growing my podcast, I said I needed to learn more time management suggestions on like timelines or like how to tell engaging stories. So that's that second column. And then the third column is whose. Who can you ask these questions to? Because that was the main gist of her presentation. I should have wrote more notes down. But her main thing was, don't be afraid to ask questions. That's how she got further in her career, was being humbled by someone and then just being more vulnerable and literally just asking more. And that got her foot in the door and yada, I don't know, go to the conference and hear the rest. But, and then the fourth column was a timeline. So when are you going to ask those questions by? So again, four columns down, as many as you want to cross, because it's just how many goals you have. So you have the goal, you have what questions that need to be answered to get to that goal, who you're going to ask those questions to, and when you're going to ask them by. So I think it's pretty useful because it's literally you determining a timeline for yourself. And what you remember, if you remember in, I think it's episode 3, we talk about, you know, what even a good goal is, really. And again, it has to be something that's agreed upon. Giving yourself a timeline makes it even more agreed upon. You're making that acknowledgement. As well as, again, a good goal has to be difficult while also being attainable. So I want to try doing this more often, doing it more with specifics, even making it on sticky notes. I love sticky notes, but I like the gist of it, having someone to ask questions to, because obviously we don't know things ourselves and we don't have an immediate person that we can just ask them to. So being able to realize who you can ask, whether it's coworkers, friends of friends, just having one connection where you can just be like, hey, I have these questions. I thought of you. Would you be able to answer them? So maybe that can help you with your career or personal goals, however that see fits for you. But I hope that little tidbit of advice helps. And now I got another one. This is where the personality quiz comes in. So this session was about Gretchen Rubin's and her four tendencies, the four tendencies. So basically the four tendencies are you're either an upholder, questioner, obliger, or a rebel. And what these are the four tendencies were born to help understand basically human behavior based on how people respond to expectations. So there's a quiz and I'll have it at the bottom of this podcast description, or if you just look up Gretchen Rubin or Gretchen Rubin four tendencies, it'll show up. It should be like the first site you have, and then you scroll to the middle bottom and just take the quiz. I think if I remember, I didn't have to put any information in at the start of it. It did just ask for my email at the end, but showed the results on the screen right after you hit submit for your email. Because I know some quizzes have you fill out all this personal data and they keep emailing you, but I don't think I've gotten an email since besides after I took it for the first time. Good job, Gretchen. But basically these four tendencies summed up, or I'll give a little description and an example for each. So an upholder are the type of people who like following the rules and sticking to plans. So if an upholder would set like a New Year's resolution to exercise every day, they'd probably stick to it without any trouble because they're good at meeting both their own expectations and what others expect of them. And then the questioners. So these people need the reason behind everything they do. If you tell a questioner to follow a diet, they're going to ask why it's beneficial and may only follow it if they're convinced by the answers. So they only act if something makes sense to them personally. And then we have obligers. This is like most people are an obliger, and they need external motivation to meet goals. So they do well when someone else is counting on them. So an example would be an obliger might have trouble going to the gym alone, but will regularly attend a group fitness class where the instructor and other participants expect them to show up. Again, they show up when someone else is counting on them, but not for themselves. And then we have rebels. So they like to do things in their own unique way, and they often resist following the rules or schedules. So if a rebel were to start wanting to eat healthier, they'd be unlikely to stick to a prescribed diet plan. Instead, they would just eat healthier in a creative way that feels like it's their own idea and change habits on their own terms. And rebels are, I guess most people aren't rebels. It's like the least common tendency. So all of these, they have their own strengths and challenges, but being able to recognize which one you are can help manage habits, work, and relationships more effectively. And the speaker on this, he made sure we know, you know, you might not like being an obliger. You're someone you can't get yourself to do things, but like, you don't have to hate it. That's just who you are. Like he noted, like he had someone ask, you know, why he is that way or why can't they change? And it's, what are you supposed to say that? I don't know, get different DNA, be born differently. What? That's just who you are. You can't change it. So I'll say I am an obliger. As I was filling this quiz out, I immediately knew where it was going towards, and I hated that because I was definitely like, yep, I will totally do something for others. When I'm at work, someone asks me to do something, I'm going to do it before my own deadlines because I'm really bad at saying no to people. That's something I'm always constantly working on, but it's nice. It's always on my mind. So when someone asks me something, I actually have learned to give myself a pause to actually look at my schedule, think about it logistically. If I took this on, am I going to mentally exhaust myself later from this task. Because honestly, that's just where my timeline is right now. Again, it's April, constantly busy. I had a conference. We left Tuesday morning, got back Sunday afternoon or late afternoon, evening. Yeah. And now this week, again, on Thursday through Saturday, I'll be in another conference in another state. So it's a lot of traveling, staying in hotel rooms, which I feel like every time I just stay in a hotel room or just travel somewhere like that, like I always get sick. Thankfully, I haven't gotten sick yet. I do feel like my voice is a little different. I think I'm honestly just exhausted, so it's just given up. Like, I was talking in class, and I realized I was so monotone, and I was like, Jadalyn, wake up. This isn't you. But definitely feels better to laugh. But it's nice that I know now, again, back to the obligers thing, that I know I just have to have someone else accountable. And I realized that's why I used to always make these group chats, like when I was in like a moment or a period of time where I really wanted to work out, but I just had no motivation to do it myself, even though I try those techniques where it's basically talking down to myself in my head. So what, you want to be fat? You're not going to go work out today because you want to be fat. Is that it? But that didn't even work. I would just accept it and hate myself for it and then go down this spiral and sit with myself with these disgusting thoughts and hating myself. Even though I know when I like am able to get myself to get up and go, I feel so good afterwards. Like, why can't I just remember that feeling and go off of it? Like, it doesn't make sense. I don't know. I'm working on it. I hope you're better than me. But now I know why I needed those. Now I know why I need those group chats, or I make private stories with friends and I just post on it every time I work out to hold myself accountable. Cause I'm like, then I'm in my head, I'm like, ooh, they're gonna see I haven't posted today. Oh, they're gonna call me out. They're gonna see I'm not doing it. They're not gonna call me out, but they're gonna be secretly judging me. I just need to get back into doing something like that, because I'm not in a position to have a workout partner currently. Again, be yourself by yourself. But if you are, totally do it. I used to have a friend group where we would all go work out together, and it was nice because they had the Planet Fitness like Plus or Black Card, or I don't even know. But anyways, I got to work out for free with them. So that was really cool. So I would just tag along, and it was nice to at least be at the gym, but I feel like I wasn't working that hard with them. Like we were rotating and working out, and it was honestly just a bunch of talking, but I feel like I didn't get like that much of a sweat out of it. I don't know how many calories were actually burned, but it was nice to actually lift weights. Like I would never go lift weights by myself. Like I love doing like a Hot Works workout or going out for a run or walk or doing things like that. I can only lift weights like if no one's around me. So I'll do it sometimes in my apartment complex. There's like a small gym, but I'll only do it if there's no one else. Or if someone's like running on the treadmill ahead of me, because the weights are behind. So they really wouldn't be able to see unless they stop running. So that's scary for me, but it'd be nice to have enough money to just have a personal trainer to, you know, help me get through things. But we ain't in that stage of life yet. I ain't got money like that. Oh. But another piece that speaker talked about during the session with the personality test was that 7% of people will make $100,000 by the age of 30. Only 7% of people. That's crazy. Because he asked us, he was there, so how many people think they're going to make this much by 30? And almost everyone raises their hand. And then he says, only 7% of people will. And it's, oh, it'd be nice to think that I will. But now that I think about it, I'm already 22. 30 isn't that far away. And like every year you live your life, I feel like it just goes by faster and faster. I don't know about that anymore. I'd love to be a part of that 7%, but maybe by 31. And then the last piece I wanted to share today was, again, an article I found by Forbes. I don't know why I said I like that, but it's about functional freezes. I know I mentioned this before in episode 3, maybe 5, maybe both. I don't know. Go listen to them all and then let me know. But if I remember, basically, if you haven't heard those, a functional freeze, that's like a mental, emotional, even like physical state where you're literally just frozen, like you just no drive, nothing. Oh, there's a description here. Yeah, immobilized by inertia, lacking the drive to pursue their goals or engage in activities that once brought them joy. Yeah, it can stem from various factors like stress, burnout, unresolved emotional issues, and a lack of clear direction in life. These all attribute to the sense of stagnation. As responsibilities mount, individuals may withdraw from the world, retreating into a state of numbness and apathy. And I'd say that's definitely true. I used to wonder, like, shit, do I got like depression? Do I have anxiety? But I realized, no, I just have been working myself too hard that when I finish that or come down from it, it's I have no drive to do anything else. And it sucks because it happens so often now. Like, literally, I'll have a full day of class, and I get 3 hours to myself at the end of the day, and I don't want to do anything. So it's been hard. It's been hitting me in the mornings, especially just knowing how much I have to do today. and how this is probably the only time I have to myself. And it's just exhausting thinking about all that work I have to do. So I keep hitting snooze. I used to never be a snooze person. Like, I didn't even have that option on my phone. But then when I don't, I notice I literally have started. I will literally turn off my alarm and then make a new one for 10 minutes later. And it might as well be 30 minutes. And then I'm readjusting, you know, what I'm doing for the day just to let myself sleep in more. Even though I know, like, when you do that, you're not even getting that much better sleep. And I know if I would have just got up the first time my alarm went off, yeah, you're tired at first, but by the second I reach the bathroom, I'm fine. But anyways, hope that's not you. But anyways, this is a Forbes article on titled, A Psychologist Offers 3 Ways Out of Functional Freeze Mode. I just thought they were interesting. Just wait for the third one. So this first one is, the first suggestion is forest bathing or Shinran Yoku. So forest bathing, basically they're suggesting you take mindful forest walks and forest meditation. I ain't got a forest near me, but basically what they're saying is like sitting down and just like feeling the environment around you to be able to sense like all these senses at once, the sights, the sounds, the accents, the textures, says even taste of the forest. So I get why they're suggesting forest. All those would be heavily present in an area like that. And then for the meditation parts, yeah, seeking a secluded spot in the forest where you can comfortably meditate. Being able to close your eyes and focus on your breath and release any pent-up tension or anxiety. And then for the second part, there's sound bathing, which is basically sitting through peace with sound vibrations. So you're sitting in a comfortable position. Someone plays soothful sounding instruments, Tibetan singing bowls, gongs, and tuning forks. Yeah, I don't got those, but I bet you could look up a video. But basically, those practices are rooted in Tibetan and Buddhist cultures, positively impacting mood, tension, and overall well-being. And that, again, is mostly focused on the vibrations that improve cardiovascular health and reduce negative effects. And now this third one is laughter yoga. It's described as a unique form of exercise that combines laughter with yogic breathing techniques to promote physical, emotional, and social well-being. And in addition to its benefits in reducing stress and burnout, laughter yoga has been proven effective in enhancing positive psychological capital and exercise capacity among patients with terminal illness. So it aids in escaping the freeze mode by employing several mechanisms. Release of endorphins, activation of the, whoa, big word, and activation of the parasympathetic nervous system. Sorry if I read that wrong. Which suggests that hearing laughter significantly stimulates that nervous system, facilitating relaxation and stress reduction. And then promotion of social connection. And for that, it just means encouraging group interactions and playful engagement. I guess that would help to laugh instead of being by yourself. But I think you totally could. I think it just goes back to smiling being contagious. Once I start, I can't stop. And you can hear in my voice the times that I'm smiling. But yeah, I hope you enjoyed the free advice. And if you're still listening, thank you. And if you guys ever have any suggestions on things you'd want to hear my take on, or if there's something you want to learn and you literally just don't want to do the research, I'm sure other people want to hear it too. Feel free to literally just send me a DM on our Instagram at yourself.byby and I'll check out your DM. But again, good luck this April, whether you're a college student or not. I'm sure we're all feeling this weird busyness. The seasons are changing. If you're in the Midwest, we're getting these fall summer vibes that just go back to cold. Like today was so beautiful, but it's nice seeing the sun stay up later. But that's enough of me. Enjoy listening to the outro, and I hope you have a great day. Hello again. Thanks for listening in to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, I would love if you could take a quick second to share this with anyone you think should listen in. Also, don't forget to follow our Instagram at yourself.byby. It really means the world to me to know you're listening in. I'll be back next week with a new episode for you. I'm glad you could make it.